This is Audible.
Tanto Audio presents Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable, by Tim S. Grover. Narrated by Sean Pratt. A note from Tim Grover. In April 2013, 4 days before the initial release of this book, my longtime client Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles tendon. It takes years of tireless dedication and unimaginable hard work to build a legacy like Kobe's. It takes a single instant to change everything. 1 minute you're finishing the regular season and preparing for the challenge of the playoffs. The next minute you're preparing for surgery and the challenge of rebuilding your body and your future. I'm not talking about the split second it takes to sustain a potentially career-ending injury. I'm talking about the moment immediately after the unthinkable happens, when your instinctive reaction determines everything else that's about to happen. No one would have blamed Kobe for collapsing in pain and frustration. He could have allowed his teammates to carry him off the court to the predictably solemn applause that loyal fans give their fallen heroes. Instead, he went to the free throw line to finish his work. To me, the only question was whether he'd make one shot or two. Made them both. Then, he walked to the locker room. That is relentless. For Kobe, there was no time to think or plan or decide. No time to wait for instructions or hesitate. There was only his instinctive drive to keep going, to stay strong, to never quit. Even with a devastating injury, he finished the free throws and began the next chapter of his career. And that's what this book is about. You don't wait to be told. You don't waver from your goal. When it's time to act, you act, instinctively and without hesitation. As you'll hear in this book, done. Next? The word relentless is used in sports to describe the most intense competitors and achievers imaginable, those who stop at nothing to get to the end result. In sports, being relentless is measurable by victories and trophies and championships and rings. In real life, being relentless is a state of mind that can give you the strength to achieve, to survive, to overcome, to be strong when others are not. It means craving the end result so intensely that the work becomes irrelevant, not just in sports, but in everything you do. The ability to be relentless is in all of us. In the weeks and months after this book was published, I was blown away by the emails and letters and social media messages from people who identified with the mental toughness and steely focus of those who never give up, never say enough, never stop until the end result is in hand. People wanted to talk about cleaners, my name for the ultimate competitors and achievers who refuse to be satisfied with just trying or merely giving it their best. They recognized themselves in those individuals who don't just do a job, they define the job. Champions like Michael Jordan, Kobe, Dwayne Wade, and many others in every walk of life. Almost every person I heard from wanted to analyze whether he or she had the mental toughness to be a cleaner, or perhaps instead a closer or a cooler, the other types of competitors you'll meet in this book. Cooler, closer, cleaner. Good, great, unstoppable. You can be whichever you want. If you want to be unstoppable, you've got to make the commitment. Most of those who reached out to me weren't star athletes working on their games, although I heard from them too. These were teachers and firemen and soldiers and CEOs and kids. I talked to countless coaches from youth leagues to the highest level of the pros. From the high school coach who brought his team together over the summer to sit in a classroom and read the book as a group so they could have chapter-by-chapter discussions, to the NFL coach who finally understood he wasn't the only one who went to the dark side to connect with his truly competitive instincts. I heard from a plastic surgeon who related to the book because his work was all about precision and detail, and he could never settle for anything less than perfection. A teacher who dealt with the most difficult kids in the school and understood the way to get the most out of those students was to let them be who they really were, not who others wanted them to be. A chopper pilot in Afghanistan, whose job did not allow for hesitation, doubt, or failure. His goal every day was to get to the end result or risk the lives of others. And they talked about the loneliness of chasing goals most others considered impossible, and how no one could ever understand how hard they had worked to achieve them. They couldn't believe someone had put a name, Cleaner, on their ability to trust their instincts, shut out doubt and fear, and keep going when everyone else had given up. They understood that while most of the examples in this book are about elite athletes, it's the mindsets of those athletes that allow them to dominate, not their physical skills. What they do in competitive sports, you can do in your life if you are relentlessly tough from the neck up. Others weren't so sure. After every big athletic event, I'd get emails and tweets arguing that certain athletes were cleaners because they had a great game. To be clear, one great performance, or even one great season, doesn't make you a cleaner. You're supposed to play well. That's your responsibility. It's the ability to repeat that result over and over, season after season, never satisfied, never letting up, that makes someone truly relentless. Working through physical challenges that would put others on the bench just so you can taste the sweetness of winning one more time, that is what separates the good and great from the unstoppable. For example, many players get that first ring and find it extremely difficult to withstand the unthinkable pressure and expectations needed to stay at the top. They just can't sustain the drive and desire to do the work. Dwayne Wade got his first ring in 2006 and endured countless obstacles trying to get another, including multiple injuries and surgeries and an extremely challenging rehab with me. So when LeBron James and Chris Bosh joined him in Miami in 2010, he could have taken their arrival as an opportunity to exhale, knowing he was no longer expected to carry the entire team by himself. Instead, he was able to share the physical demands of the season while adapting to his new role and showing LeBron how a championship team works together, that it's not about one guy shouldering the entire load. In any given game, there was a cleaner and a closer on the floor. With Dwayne and LeBron changing roles as needed, one or the other taking charge on any given night. They didn't have to discuss it. They just knew. Yet even with less pressure on him, Dwayne never allowed his mental focus to waver, despite severe chronic leg injuries. End result? The second ring in 2012, a third in 2013. Yet for Dwayne, even after the 2013 championship, there was still more to do. I hadn't worked with him regularly for several years. He had been training with teammates in Miami, and I was working with other players elsewhere. We always kept in touch. I was always there when he needed me, but we weren't doing the kind of intense daily work we had done years before. I'm rarely the first guy players reach out to when they want to train. I'm the last. In case of emergency, break glass. There are plenty of trainers who will just give you a workout. That is not me. We train for one thing and one thing only, a championship. Lots of guys say they'll do anything for that ring, but there's a difference between saying it and actually doing it. So when a guy commits to train with me, it means he's really serious. When Dwayne called me after the 2013 season, he was really serious. "I'm not done yet," he said. That is a cleaner. You don't have to love the hard work. You just have to crave the end result. On the question of who's a cleaner and who's not, as you'll hear, I say repeatedly in the book that prior to the 2013 NBA season, LeBron still had something to prove before he could be considered one of the best ever, which is what others were beginning to call him. To me, he was still not a cleaner. He had won a single championship, and I wanted to see him do it again. He didn't have to take full responsibility for the entire team as a cleaner does. He was playing alongside Dwayne, one of the greatest players in the game. Everything had been handed to him since he was a kid in high school. I wanted him to show he had to earn it. Everyone was comparing him to the greatest legends of the game. Show us you deserve the comparison. He did. His physical gifts and superlative talent had very little to do with ultimately making him a cleaner, because it's not about skill or talent. It was the fact that he took the pressure from winning the first ring in 2012, used it to drive himself harder for the second ring in 2013, and carried his team on his back to get it. Complete focus. In the zone. Never letting up until he got the end result. And as soon as that second championship was his, he immediately said, "I'm going to come back a better player." Still not satisfied. That is a cleaner. That's the core message of this book. I understand it's a message that truly motivates some listeners and infuriates others. I read and appreciated every comment and review, positive and negative. You can't keep improving if you fear others will disapprove of what you're doing. The only difference between feedback and criticism is the way you hear it. And I heard it all. And while most of the responses were overwhelmingly positive, or at least fair, I was intrigued by the occasional comment, "It doesn't tell you what to do." That is 100% accurate. Why should anyone want to be told what to do? The whole point of this book is that in order to be successful, to truly have what you want in life, you must stop waiting to be told what to do and how to do it. Your goals, your decisions, your commitment. If you can't see the end result, how can anyone else see it for you? I can't give you a 10-step process or a checklist for accomplishing your goals. No one can do that for you, nor should you ask them to. What I am giving you is insight into the mentality and guts of those who have found unparalleled success by trusting their own instincts to get where they want to be. They do it in the sports world. You can do it in your world. It's a mindset for mental toughness. Tell yourself what to do and stop waiting for others to lay it all out. Can anyone do this? Do you have to be born this way, or can you learn it? Here's my answer, and what I hope you keep in mind as you listen to this book. You don't have to play basketball like Michael Jordan to have his mindset and mental toughness and apply it to whatever you do. You don't need Kobe's athletic skills to attack your dreams the way he attacks his. You don't have to overcome injury and impossible odds like Dwayne Wade to overcome whatever obstacles are standing between you and your goals. You just need to share their relentless drive for the end result, and let nothing stand in your way of achieving it. Tim S. Grover, September 2013. Don't think. It was 10 p.m. when the black Suburban pulled up to the security gates of Attack Athletics, my training facility on the west side of Chicago. Not unusual. Pro athletes would show up at all hours to the place where Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Dwayne Wade had permanent lockers, where countless superstars would work out or play ball or just hang out with other guys who got it. On this particular night, though, only one guy is in the gym, and no one else knows he's there. Not his team, not the media, not his family. His teammates are in a hotel 2,000 miles away. Reporters are blowing up his phone with calls and texts. It's in the middle of the NBA playoffs, with less than 72 hours until he has to be back on court. The night before, the whole world watched him limp off the floor in pain. Now everyone wants to know the story. Is he okay? Can he play? "I'm fine," he said at the post-game press conference. "He's fine," said the coach, who has no idea where his star is tonight. "We'll get him some treatment, and he'll be good to go," said the GM, who already knows the player won't go near the team's training staff. Finally, when he's alone in the privacy of his room at the team's hotel, he makes one call to the confidential number saved in the phones of countless athletes around the world. "I need some help," he says. "How soon can you get here?" I answer. Getting to me without anyone knowing is the easy part when you're an elite athlete. Call for a plane, grab your security guy, and go. Confidentiality guaranteed. Typically, the hard part comes when you arrive, whether you're in need of emergency intervention, or a long-term program, or a psychological kick in the ass. Some guys arrive thinking they're going to fill out paperwork and stretch a little. And within the first hour, they've sweated through 3 t-shirts and they're puking in a trash can. But that night, the player and I knew the real issue wasn't physical. It was the end of the season. Everyone has injuries. I'm not going to fix anything major in a few hours, and the team's training staff could have handled the usual aches and pains. And let's be honest, you don't secretly charter a plane and fly 2,000 miles to get iced and taped. We can adapt around the limitation. Here's how you adjust your shot, push off this way, land that way, do this before the game, do that at halftime, get something done to the shoes. Ignore the pain for now. You're going to be uncomfortable. Get used to it. Lay out the whole script, leaving nothing to chance. If he follows the plan, he'll be physically ready to play, or as ready as he can be. But mentally, that's another story. And that's why he made the call to me. He's listening to all the talk about whether he'll be ready to go, whether he can get the job done, whether he's lost a few steps. And now, he's not even sure himself. The pressure is getting to him. External pressure that distracts and derails, not the internal pressure that can drive you to overcome anything. And instead of shutting it all out and trusting his instincts and natural ability, he's thinking. He flew 2,000 miles to hear these 2 words. Don't think. You already know what you have to do, and you know how to do it. What's stopping you? To be the best, whether in sports or business or any other aspect of life, it's never enough to just get to the top. You have to stay there. And then you have to climb higher, because there's always someone right behind you trying to catch up. Most people are willing to settle for good enough, but if you want to be unstoppable, those words mean nothing to you. Being the best means engineering your life so you never stop until you get what you want, and then you keep going until you get what's next. And then you go for even more. Relentless. If that describes you, this book is your life story. You're what I call a cleaner, the most intense and driven competitor imaginable. You refuse limitations. You quietly and forcefully do whatever it takes to get what you want. You understand the insatiable addiction to success. It defines your entire life. If that doesn't describe you yet, congratulations. You are on a life-changing journey to discover the power you already possess. This isn't about motivation. If you're listening to this book, you're already motivated. Now, you have to turn that into action and results. You can hear clever motivational slogans all day and still have no idea how to get where you want to be. Wanting something won't get you anywhere. Trying to be someone you're not won't get you anywhere. Waiting for someone or something to light your fire won't get you anywhere. So how are you going to get there? Believe this. Everything you need to be great is already inside you. All your ambitions and secrets, your darkest dreams, they're waiting for you to just let go. What's stopping you? Most people give up because everyone has told them what they can't do, and it's easier to stay safe in the comfort zone. So they sit on the fence, unable to decide, unable to act. But if you don't make a choice, the choice will be made for you. It's time to stop listening to what everyone else says about you, telling you what to do, how to act, how you should feel. Let them judge you by your results and nothing else. It's none of their business how you get where you're going. If you're relentless, there is no halfway, no could or should or maybe. Don't tell me the glass is half full or half empty. You either have something in that glass or you don't. Decide. Commit. Act. Succeed. Repeat. Everything in this book is about raising your standard of excellence, going beyond what you already know and think, beyond what anyone has tried to teach you. Kobe says he wants 6 rings. I want him to have 7. A guy tells me he wants to come back from an injury in 10 weeks. I'll get him there in 8. You want to drop 30 pounds? You'll drop 34. That's how you become unstoppable, by placing no limits on yourself. Not just in sports, but in everything you do. I want you to want more and get everything you crave. I don't care how good you think you are, or how great others think you are. You can improve, and you will. Being relentless means demanding more of yourself than anyone else could ever demand of you, knowing that every time you stop, you can still do more. You must do more. The minute your mind thinks, done, your instincts say, next. What you won't find in this book is a lot of garbage about passion and inner drive. I don't have any feel-good strategies for dreamers who love to talk about thinking outside the box. There is no box. I'm going to show you how to stop thinking about how you're going to think and do something instead. In this book, you'll hear a lot about champions such as Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade and many other successful people in and out of sports. But this isn't a basketball book, and I'm not going to tell you how to be the next Michael Jordan. No one will ever be Michael Jordan, and Kobe and Dwayne will be the first to agree. Will you ever play basketball like any of those guys? Probably not. Can you learn from their work ethic and relentless drive and uncompromising focus on their goals? Absolutely. Can you improve your chances of success by learning about others who succeeded and those who didn't? Of course. Success isn't the same as talent. The world is full of incredibly talented people who never succeed at anything. They show up, do what they do, and if it doesn't work out, they blame everyone else because they believe talent should be enough. It's not. If you want to be truly successful, you can't be content with pretty good. You need to find an extra gear. Look, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a social worker. I didn't sit in a classroom for decades doing studies and collecting data to analyze and writing papers on the theories of excellence and elite performance. But I guarantee you that everything I know, everything in this book, comes from unlimited access to some of the most excellent and elite performers in the world. I understand how they think, how they learn, how they succeed and fail, what drives them to be relentless. It's not all pretty, but it's all true. Everything I've learned from them, everything I teach them, I'm sharing with you here. It's not a science. It's raw animal instinct. This book is about following those instincts, facing the truth, and getting rid of the excuses that stand between you and your goals, no matter how complex and unattainable they may seem, no matter how many people tell you it can't be done, it can be done. Here's the key. I'm not going to tell you how to change. People don't change. I want you to trust who you already are and get to that zone where you can shut out all the noise, all the negativity and fear and distractions and lies, and achieve whatever you want in whatever you do. To get you there, I'm going to talk about some provocative topics, and you'll get no apologies from me if that makes you uncomfortable. Success is about dealing with reality, facing your demons and addictions, and not putting a smiley face on everything you do. If you need a pat on the back and a good job to get your ass off the couch, this is not the book for you. Because if you want to be unstoppable, you have to face who you really are and make it work for you, not against you. Truly relentless people, the cleaners, are predators with dark sides that refuse to be taught to be good. And whether you know it or not, you do have a dark side. Use it well, and it can be your greatest gift. If you're aiming to be the best at what you do, you can't worry about whether your actions will upset other people or what they'll think of you. We're taking all the emotion out of this and doing whatever it takes to get to where you want to be. Selfish? Probably. Egocentric? Definitely. If that's a problem for you, listen to the book and see if you feel differently afterward. From this point, your strategy is to make everyone else get on your level. You're not going down to theirs. You're not competing with anyone else ever again. They're going to have to compete with you. From now on, the end result is all that matters. In the case of my late-night visitor, he had lost his connection to that end result. He was so distracted by his fear of losing that he couldn't focus on what he had to do to win, couldn't stem the wave of frustration and emotion that was drowning all his natural ability and confidence. His negativity on the court was evident. He was rolling his eyes at his teammates and coaches, grimacing as if he were dying out there. His teammates began to see that, and suddenly they were like troops marching into battle without their leader, completely shutting down. That's how great teams lose. The leader doesn't show up. It happens in business every day, when the boss shows his frustration in meetings or snaps at his employees. He's not confident. He's not cool. He's not on his game, and it comes out in little ways he might think no one else perceives, but you can be sure everyone picks up on it and panics. How do you prevent that panic from turning into a total collapse? Sometimes you need to step away and get back to that calm, cool place where you're in total control. Could my player have called me to fly to wherever he was? Sure. That happens every season with different guys. They know if they need me, I'm there. But in this case, the player knew he needed space, and he was willing to risk the consequences if he got caught leaving the team. He knew it was on him to get back in the zone, that deeply personal space where you can quiet your mind until you have no thoughts. It's just you and your instincts, focused and unemotional. Where you feel no external pressure, just the internal pressure to prove yourself over and over because you want it for yourself, not anyone else. Forget about losing, I tell him, looking for that click behind the eyes when you know the guy gets it. I told him, forget about trying, because if you're just trying, then losing is still an option. You want to be the best? Then you ignore the pain and the exhaustion and the pressure to please everyone else. You don't let your enemies take your balls. You don't let them set up shop in your head. When all hell breaks loose on the outside, you barely notice. You're calm on the inside because you're ready, prepared, and the best at what you do. You don't tell anyone how you're going to handle the situation, you just handle it. Everyone else is panicking and choking and you say, no problem. You step on the other guy's throat and you finish the fight. And afterward, you don't explain how you did it. They won't understand, and they don't have to. Just take a moment alone to recognize what you accomplished and move on to the next challenge. By now it's early morning. His plane is waiting to take him back. Finish it, I say again. Click. He gets it. Time to go. He turns to a security guy and says, we've just been to Oz. Relentless is about achieving the impossible. I know for a fact that anyone can do it. When I was still in high school, just a 5'11" basketball player in Chicago, I was watching a North Carolina game on television and saw Michael Jordan for the first time. He was a skinny freshman with moves I had never seen.